When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the stormy night of December 15, 1900, the captain of the steamship Arctur was sailing by the Flannan Isles off the coast of Scotland when he was suddenly surprised to notice that the lighthouse on the isolated island was unlit. Now, this was extremely unusual. There was supposed to be a minimum of 3 lightkeepers manning the lighthouse at all times, and these lightkeepers definitely knew that they were supposed to keep the light on at night for safety reasons, especially during a dangerous storm like this, so there was really no logical reason for it not to be on. However, despite just how strange and out of the ordinary this was, the captain figured that there had to be some sort of rational explanation for it. He figured that he would just make his way to the nearest city and inform the Northern Lighthouse Board about the issue, and that they would be able to get to the bottom of everything. But little did this captain know, this case was nowhere near as simple as he thought it would be. And it would end up as one of the most eerie and unexplained disappearance cases in history. Or was it really? Welcome back, guys. My name is Andy Jang, and this is Hidden Stories. After hearing from the captain about the Flannan Isles lighthouse's strange malfunctioning, the Northern Lighthouse Board decided to send out a ship called the Hesperus to investigate the island. However, because of bad weather, the Hesperus and its crew were only able to reach the island an entire 11 days after the captain of the Arctur had first noticed that something was wrong. And the very moment that this crew even began approaching the small island of Aelin Mor, where this lighthouse was positioned, it was immediately clear that something was very wrong indeed. For starters, there was no flag on the island's flagpole, which was something that should have always been there, just as a rule. Furthermore, when the crew aboard the Hesperus tried sounding their horn and using their flares to get the attention of the lighthouse keepers, they received no response. And even more ominously, once the crew had actually made it to land and started setting foot onto the island, there was absolutely no one there to meet them, like there always should have been. The 3 lighthouse keepers who were supposed to have been manning the Flannan Isle lighthouse at the time, James Ducat, Thomas Marshall, and Donald MacArthur, were seemingly nowhere to be found. Although prior to arriving to the island, these crew members may have suspected at first that these lighthouse keepers had simply been knocked out due to illness or had run out of some sort of key material that they needed to keep the lighthouse burning, it soon became clear that they were just no longer even on the island anymore. When the ship's crew approached the eerily silent, seemingly abandoned lighthouse, they found the outside gate closed and the door to the lighthouse itself closed as well. As the crew tentatively walked inside and took a look around, it was obvious that nobody had been there for at least several days already. The clocks in the building were all stopped. The beds of all the lighthouse keepers were unmade. There was no fire in the fireplace, and there was even one of the lightkeepers' oilskin coats that had been left behind. All things that were extremely unusual and simply shouldn't have been the case. By this point, the ship's crew were really starting to get spooked out. They knew that under normal circumstances, the lightkeepers would never even consider not coming down to greet them, not making their beds, and not keeping track of time. Not to mention, even if they had all decided to just leave and go somewhere together, there was simply no reason that one of them would ever decide to just leave their oilskin coat behind, which was something that was always required for the often harsh climate of the island. The crew members were convinced that whatever had happened on this island had to have taken these lighthouse keepers by surprise, maybe even by force. But the more they continued to search and investigate around Aelin Mor, trying to piece together clues, the more confusing still the whole situation became. Although the east side of the island, where the crew members had landed, had been completely normal, when they made their way over to the far west side of the island, they were shocked to find a scene of absolute destruction. Solid iron railings along the island's sides had been ferociously bent and twisted. Iron railway tracks had been torn clean out of the concrete, and boxes of supplies had been ripped completely apart. Perhaps most shockingly, a boulder that weighed over 2,000 pounds that hadn't moved for years had somehow been dislodged from its resting place and shifted several feet away. Although by far the most obvious explanation for all of this carnage was that the island had been hit by a massive storm, the more that the crew members tried to wrap their minds around this explanation, the more it just didn't make sense. First of all, the destruction was just so severe and so widespread that it was hard to even imagine it could have been caused by just some wind and waves. Second, and most importantly of all, some of the damage had occurred at heights over 200 feet above sea level. Since the tallest wave that had ever been recorded out in the open ocean at the time had only been around 95 feet tall, less than half of that height, it was clear that the crew members were still missing an extremely important piece of the puzzle. And that was when they came across the Lightkeeper's logbook entries. Although at first, it seemed like these entries would finally be able to shed some light on this entire confusing mess and what had really happened to the Lightkeepers, it soon became apparent that these entries were just as perplexing, if not even more perplexing, than everything else the crew members had uncovered so far. In the first entry, the third and least experienced Lightkeeper, Thomas Marshall, described the lighthouse being hit by a great storm unlike anything that he had ever seen before. He then went on to detail how Donald MacArthur, their leader and the most experienced Lightkeeper with 20 years under his belt, had immediately started crying when the storm first hit. This was extremely shocking and puzzling to the crew members, since Donald was generally known as this big and tough guy who would never cry and was never scared of anything. A second entry then described all three of the men firmly believing that this was the end for them, and described them desperately praying for this monstrous, almost divine storm to spare them. And then, in the third and final entry, the Lightkeepers simply noted that the storm had passed, writing, "Storm ended, sea calm, God is over all." After finishing these logbook entries, the crew members were left with even more questions than they had first started with. Why had Donald been crying? If they had managed to survive the storm, where were the Lightkeepers now? Why had they still left everything behind in such disarray? What exactly had happened to the Lightkeepers after this final entry? With all of these pressing questions bouncing around their minds and still being nowhere near any closer to finding answers, the ship's crew members left Aelin Moor and made their way back to the mainland to report their findings. In their minds, the only logical explanation for everything that they could possibly muster up was that the Lightkeepers had maybe been swept away by a rogue wave while they were checking on the outskirts of the island after the storm. However, when these crew members had finally made it back to the city and informed the Northern Lighthouse Board as well as some locals about their theory, the locals suddenly became really confused. You see, whenever there was a storm out at Aelin Moor, these locals along the shoreline of the mainland could always see it since they were pretty close to the island. However, on the dates that the Lightkeeper's logbook entries had been written, December 12th to December 15th, the locals all stated that not only had there never been a storm, the island's visibility was actually better than it had been in a very long while. Meaning either all three of those Lightkeepers had somehow hallucinated this massive storm, or something else, something a whole lot more sinister, perhaps even paranormal, had happened on that island to cause all that destruction and to leave such a bewildering scene behind. Over the next few years, people came up with countless different theories as to what could have happened to those Lightkeepers, including giant seabirds snatching them up, monstrous sea serpents rising from out of the ocean and eating them, them being abducted by aliens, them intentionally faking their disappearance to make a new life for themselves somewhere else, and even one of the Lightkeepers suddenly snapping and killing the other two before then taking his own life, among numerous other theories. But although all of these theories are just based on wild speculation, one slightly more logical theory has often been overlooked, and might just actually be able to realistically explain all the completely confusing and strange details that happened in this case. You see, although almost all of the online news sources, videos, and podcasts that have covered this disappearance case report on the bewildering logbook that the lighthouse keepers kept, no such logbook actually existed. This fact was uncovered by a historian named Mike Dash, who was so fascinated by the story that he decided to dig deeper into it to learn more, and found that all of the details about this mysterious logbook had actually been made up by locals who wanted to make the case seem more interesting than it really was. They really didn't need to do this though, because even without the logbook and without the connected detail about the locals never having seen a storm on Aelin Moor, this case is already fascinating enough. And the question still remains, what really happened to those Lightkeepers? Well, as it turns out, although it was extremely unlikely that a storm had caused a world record 200-foot tall wave to crash onto the island, what could have happened was that a smaller wave got pushed up to heights of 200 feet by the island's unique geography. Since the island's cliffs had several deep and narrow inlets, it's possible that a wave had rushed up the side of one before exploding up and outwards with immense force and causing the insane destruction that was found at those heights. If this had been the case, the Lightkeepers who had been standing in the area at the time, certain that they were completely safe at that height, would have immediately been swept out to sea by the powerful water. This theory could also potentially explain the other highly mysterious details in this case, including why a Lightkeeper had even been outside during such a big storm, why all three of the lightkeepers had vanished instead of just one, and why the lighthouse itself had been left in such a puzzling state of disarray, with an oilskin coat left behind and everything. Shortly before the lightkeeper's disappearance, one of the three, Thomas Marshall, had been fined 5 shillings for allowing some of his equipment to be washed away in a storm. Since this was a lot of money back then, especially for a lightkeeper who didn't make that much, it was entirely possible that Thomas could have left the lighthouse during the next big storm to try and secure his supplies to avoid another fine. While doing this, he could have been suddenly swept away without warning by the waves that had made their way up the side of the island. And when the other two lightkeepers saw that their friend was in life-threatening trouble, they could have immediately rushed outside to try and rescue him and been swept away as well by yet another wave. And one of them may have been so worried about Thomas that he could have just completely skipped past grabbing his oilskin coat on the way out. But although this theory does explain everything fairly well, at the end of the day, it's still just a theory. To this day, we still don't know for certain what happened to the Flannan Isle lightkeepers, but we can assume that there had to have been some sort of logical explanation. Well, hopefully. With that being said, I hope you found today's story interesting. If you did, please share this episode with friends who might enjoy it as well. Comment your thoughts and leave a rating. It really does go a long way and helps make this entire thing possible. To read the Hidden Stories program disclaimer, ethics policy, and verification and licensing terms, go to human-content.com/hiddenstories. That's human-content.com/hiddenstories. I'll see you guys soon.